Chapter 5, The Silver Boss.
Kitra, my brother's long gone. He was ghosted by the Inquisition.
Ram, he's alive. I saw him.
When?
Today, in the forward trenches of 1st Division.
How did he look?
He never took off his helmet, but I knew it was him. His voice was different from before, but he sounds and acts just like you.
You're sure?
Yes.
You better not get us confused.
I don't know. It can get pretty dark at downtime.
I will ignore that remark.
But not me.
Never.
How many did we lose in the latest attack?
10, and 2 of those were to the Commissar.
The Telekine Ark carried my body inside and strapped it to a bunk, tucking it away in case the enemy reacted in anger to the explosion deep within their lines. My not-so-distant punch had been felt for miles in every direction. Smoke leaked skyward from the enemy's trench, marking the epicenter of destruction. In the end, I'd followed it out. I'd stayed there too long. I knew there was a cost to everything, especially in my astral form, and traveling within the Bloodthorn's painted lines had wounded me. My mind felt frayed by the effort. For once, the collar around my neck made sense. I gripped it in anger and shuddered as my silver energy slowly consumed the blood rage. In the end, there was silence. Outside my room, an intense conversation burst into being, officer style. Needing a distraction, I homed in on it, listening for familiar voices, and found only one, that of Primaris Rovira, assuring the 1st Division heads. The sirens had stopped, but the entire defensive arc was still on high alert. A familiar face leaned into the tiny room. Tempi Azar seemed relieved to see me awake.
You're back?
More or less. A little help? I struggled with my restraints. Tempi didn't move from the curtained doorway.
You screamed.
So?
I've never heard you scream. Even on the shuttle ride in, you barely stirred as you fought the enemy scout. Everyone is spooked, even the Primaris.
I'd spoken more to the enemy than to our own side in the short time I'd been here, and that wasn't working out. I went in too deep. There was a blood curse, and it burned me.
But you're okay now.
I glanced at my tied-off wrists and ankles and gave her a big smile. I'm doing just great.
That's not what I meant. What will we do without any pyros?
We'll make do. We've got the psyker net. You'll be able to stay below during an attack while I sort out things up top. Tempi's hands came out of her pockets, shaking.
I've never been in a war.
Neither have I. Now, if you don't hurry up and help me out, Vidal's gonna think you're taking advantage of the situation.
Would you mind if I did?
She finally smiled, doing her best to flirt us away from the uncertainty we both felt. Most days, no, I replied. I wouldn't mind, but don't tell Vidal I said that. As far as I'm concerned, his toes are the only ones that get to keep you awake.
And why is that?
It allows the rest of us to get some sleep.
Oh, so it's like that, is it?
Tempi couldn't hold her faux pout as she undid my makeshift restraints and handed over my helmet. Before stepping outside, I buckled on the helmet and grabbed hold of her hand. Thanks for checking on me.
Nothing's right about this place. I just need to know we're going to get through this.
Tempi, I won't let you down. War was never a place for promises, but I didn't know it. Not yet. Primaris Rovira had been doing her best to ease us into the war and eavesdrop from just outside the doorway. She blocked my path as I came out.
Five, are you there?
I nodded, trying to clear my throat and my head at the same time. It was time for a question of my own. Why didn't you know about the loss of Primaris Kano and his arcs?
I'm not privy to the War Master's methods, but I doubt it was an oversight. Tell me, what did you find?
Blood and curses. They're dug in deep.
Did you get the sniper?
Yes, and a few hundred traitor guard. I didn't mention the fact that the Blood Cult liked my work.
You're not going out again, are you?
In astral form, no. Would you?
No. It was foolish of me to push you into it. Where are you going now?
To place a bet. I figured Lieutenant Davin would know the way to the division's bookmaker, even if she pretended otherwise. I usually had a keen sense of direction. It came in handy when I was moving in astral form, and it was an invaluable skill to have in the maze of a hive city or the underground passages of an Imperial Guard army. LT Davin led the way to a busy trench and another dust-up, this time with a familiar commissar in the mix. Geronimo Passingen wore his who-do-I-shoot-first face as he stared down a guard lieutenant.
What do you mean your company won't come online?
Commissar,
It's F Company. They do things their own way.
Are you not an officer in F Company?
Well, yes, but the warrant calls the shots.
The lieutenant's confession forced Passington to draw his bolt pistol. I would have shot the man too, if not for his look of utter resignation. I stepped between the two officers. Commissar Passington, what a coincidence meeting you here.
Five, move.
I ignored Passington's direct order. We've come looking for the Inquisition's source for tracking the Felguard attacks among our lines. Supposedly, the division's oddsmaker belongs to F Company in the 1st Regiment of 1st Division. The mention of the Inquisition helped ease Passington's pistol back into its holster, while his face maintained the threat of using it. The guard lieutenant saw his opening and swam for it.
F Company is a penal unit marked with an inquisitorial seal. They're always trouble, but they have the highest combat rating of any unit in the division.
I noted the incongruity of it all. F Company outclasses A Company, and yet a commissar has arrived to bring them to heel? Commissar Passington, perhaps you should move up the line and find a different target. Both lieutenants gasped. The first rule of the Imperial Guard is to never, ever question the path of a commissar in front of the men. Ever. Passington took a measured step back, drew his pistol, and promptly fired it into my chest. Two could play at that game, so I did. I dropped like a rock onto the battlement floor, cradling the heat of a freshly fired .75 caliber bullet. The lieutenants stifled their gasps, holding their breath and waiting for the commissar to stalk away. Thankfully, he did before we all turned blue. Place your bets and play it to the end. A bolt pistol round at a point-blank range will ignore even the best body armor. If the round doesn't fully penetrate the skin, it can still shatter one's sternum, causing all sorts of pain and internal bleeding. I knew this from first-hand experience and wasn't kidding when I said my auric shield could stop a missile. The heavy slug was an ugly toy in its grasp. I pocketed the spent bullet, stood and dusted myself off, saying, "Lieutenant, what is your name?"
"Oh, Hedrock, sir."
"Don't call me sir. I'm only a lowly militant savant. Please inform Warrant Green that he is expected topside pronto."
You know him?"
"How could I not? 2 years ago, I'd been the one to stamp his ticket into Fulcrum's 10th founding." I reached into my coat and pulled out a pair of medicuffs. The priceless device was imbued with a machine spirit that could keep a gravely injured person alive until the Medicaid could do their thing. They'd been a gift from Lalo Green before we had a falling out of sorts, more of a falling down on the part of Green and his Underhive gang. I was the only one left standing after our final encounter, but we'd all ended up under the yoke of the Inquisition and conscripted into the Imperial Guard. There were worse outcomes to be had. "Yes. Please hand these to Warrant Green and tell him that he'll need them if I have to chase him down myself." Hedrock bought into my tone and the fact that he didn't have a better idea.
"And who are you?"
"My name is Five, but he'll know me by another." Still faceless beneath my helm, I left it at that. As Hedrock strode off in search of his missing company, Lieutenant Davin murmured,
"Say my name."
"LT Davin," I replied.
"Only one person ever called me LT. And for a lowly militant, you act awfully entitled. Your name isn't Five, it's Rabbit."
I whispered back, "Only on really bad days." Davin gasped.
Your brother is here. He's been promoted to Major, the Colonel's regimental second in the 1st of the 1st.
My brother Ramsey had been slotted as an A Company captain in 1st Division, putting him at the front of the line for any promotions among the Fulcrumite officers. Our father negotiated Ram's place in line when the 10th Legion's founding was hammered out with the Astra Militarum. Forcibly shaven by the looks of it, a man arrived and held out my medicuffs.
"Do these belong to you?"
Lalo Green had been a conniving Underhive gang boss when I first met him, and our relationship had soured rapidly from there. His talent as a seer meant he could see my aura. Lalo knew exactly who I was, even if he didn't believe it. War hadn't done the man any favors, but Warrant Green was making the best of it. He had acquired certain esoteric talents for reading people. The fact that he was operating as a bookmaker for the Inquisition hinted at a precog skill, as well as a desperate bid for survival. It didn't work that way, but I didn't have the heart to tell him. "Toss them here," I said. He did. I tossed back a bullet. "I caught that for you." It was a weighty exchange, and for once we were even. The sound of my voice added to the scale and brought a smile to his face.
"Silver, I thought you'd gotten clean away. You can't imagine how happy I am to see you've joined our happy little crusade."
Lieutenant Hedrock says you and your men have ignored the ready alert. Why?
I saw red this morning and a shifting of the odds.
The sniper attack?
That was only the start. The sniper never tags more than one or two, but it brings a host of defenders into the fighting pits as the alarm goes out. Serves up the whole division on a platter for whatever comes next.
Give me a name. What's at the top of your list?
We call it the Spider. It's a fell beast.
A warp demon?
Nothing so world-shattering as that. This one is a monstrosity, half man, half machine, half warp, pieced together in some sort of blood-soaked ritual, no doubt.
Chaotic rituals never spooked you before.
Feth you, Silver. We did what we had to do and we still do.
Lady Hahn was a demon host. Her presence threatened the entire cluster. You and your crew were plenty lucky to land in a penal company instead of the Hydra Secundus Recycler.
We might have been in over our heads, but don't think for a minute that your past buys you anything here.
What does? I said. Green pulled a small scroll from his pocket. His hands shook as he opened it.
Names, each worth one coin in my book.
What was the sniper's name?
I don't know. The sniper never touches its victims. We call him Whistle because of the sound his shots make and the way they always call something darker into play.
Green wasn't a psyker, but he had gifts of the tainted psyker spells that had burrowed into him and his men. You still wear the marks of Lady Hahn's minions.
And you don't. I take it that means something.
It meant everything to a psyker. It means my name is Five, but you can still call me Silver, as in the Silver Boss of the Fates. Green could see and hear the truth, but he needed more before relinquishing any control.
You think you're the boss of this corner?
Yes. Whistle is dead, as is Conagon the Three. You can write my name in your book beside them and get your men on the line before the Commissar comes back. Green smiled.
Conagon was a butcher. Does Inquisitor Agramunt know it's gone?
Yes. Why?
The Inquisitor tried to hunt it. Lost half her team. Agramunt's just like our old boss, the Red Baron. She's insane, and to counter her fear, she'll either control you or kill you.
This collar means I'm already bought and paid for by the Imperial Guard. Agramunt will have to get in line.
Why do they call you Five?
The Guard owns me. They get to call me whatever they like.
Silver, I know where you came from. I figured you'd die before anyone took you that far down.
And you were right. Now give me a clue where to find the next threat. Green shrugged.
The Spider is our favorite. But if you find it, don't kill it. It has an appetite for Commissars.
Of course it would. Feth. L.T. Davin, where do the Commissars bunk?
Near the command post of every division. If you're considering the Fulcrum first, it's back the way we came.
L.T., I'll be running ahead, but I want you to know that it wasn't your fault. She knew the bad turn of events I was talking about and had to ask.
Whose fault was it?
It was Warrant Green's. I patted Green on the shoulder, tapping his power and knocking the man out cold as a gentle reminder from the Silver Boss. In the distance, the bark and whine of weapons burst into life. I was gone before either lieutenant could react. As an entity of ruinous terror, the Warp Spider played its role perfectly. With a dozen appendages, human and not, it flowed across the rugged landscape in a motion as smooth as any stalker. Cloaked in a perpetual shadow, it was difficult to spy, even in broad daylight, and it blanketed the minds of everyone with a misshapen hiss. I heard it as a laugh. Hosting razors rather than teeth, the creature's mouth lacked any sort of tongue. It stalked the First Division's lines, scattering troops and shattering morale as if it knew how to call a Commissar forward. The frustration mounted quickly for Commissar Geronimo Passingen. He fired at shadows, emptying his pistol while men screamed and died all around him. That the Felguard creature allowed him to reload was telling. Not a single shot had managed to hit the beast, and the Commissar turned his wrath on more mundane targets in the Loyalist trench line. I saw the switch when it came. Commissars never wore masked helms, preferring that the troops read their faces and react before the execution started. Passingen snapped a clip of 10 into place and took aim at the nearest cringing guardsman. An invisible hand nudged his barrel upward as he pulled the trigger, burying another slug in the battlement wall. It was time. Warrant Green had been right. The odds had shifted. The bloody red aura of the fell beast was a beacon to the newly posted psykers of the Imperial Guard and a perfect teaching moment among the growing carnage. I hissed out, Five, freezing everyone and everything in place. The Dark Hunter heard an epitaph in that one word. It threw itself from the wall above the commissar and shrieked, proving once and for all that commissars aren't human. Every human that heard its call pissed themselves as the warp beast materialized overhead. Psykers weren't human, and apparently neither was Commissar Geronimo Passingan. He managed to raise his weapon and squeeze off a round as the spider plummeted for a sure quick kill. I let the slug through. One of the creature's 12 limbs spun away as it slammed into a silvery blue barrier, a mere foot above the commissar's sweat-stained hat. "Say my name," I hissed. Passingan spun in place, pointing his pistol at me. He was trapped between incomprehensible foes. "If you truly value your duty, don't fire," I said. "Not at the barrier and not at me. Don't even move." The tactical shield had become an inverted umbrella. It closed even further, enveloping the fell beast completely. It was a cage filled with chaos, and I toyed with the urge to drop it on Passingan's head. "Say my name," I hissed again. This time the beast answered.
"Five."
A tingle of energy escaped the overhead cocoon as it spoke, sprinkling its curse on the surrounding trench. "What is your name?"
"Clovel the Last."
"Who do you serve?"
"The Bloodthorn that called me into being."
The opposing views of the universe followed eerily similar scripts. As a common dialogue in the rites of the ecclesiarchy, a confessor would have posed the same question, "Who do you serve?" And a loyal citizen such as myself would have replied, "The Emperor that called me into being." "Why do you hunt our commissars?"
"They are kindred souls, feasting on the blood of others. They trade it for power and control."
Smiling at its truth, I ended the rite with my own creed. "I don't fear you. Your feast on this world is over. Clovel the Last learned the truth." With its deranged body trapped in place, the beast began to squirm and shriek as a silver glow flooded its confined space. Blood-red energy was consumed by a hungry silver fire. The being of chaos was completely undone, leaving only a pocket of unsavory dust. I popped the telekinetic bubble, releasing the harmless filth in a shower over Passingan's head. He'd obeyed my command to the letter and deserved his reward. It had taken the faces of L.T. Davin and Warrant Green to wake me up. They knew me better than I knew myself. Green knew me as the silver boss of an underhive gang and saw me as one step up from a slave. Lieutenant Davin knew my older brother, Ramsey. As a staff officer in the Fulcrum 10th, Ram could anchor my reality when I needed it most. That Primaris Rovira brought me here meant she needed help. To her, I was as much a nightmare as Clovel the Last. "Who do you serve?" I could rule a trench line, but I couldn't rule myself. For a year, I'd been a number with its own hidden meaning, and knew the time was coming when I would have to be something more. The war was only beginning.